Turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 10, a passage that I love turning to, a book that I love turning to. Almost everybody in my family, starting with my father and my grandfather, on the male side, have a form, and on the female side, all of my children have a form of the name Daniel somehow in their name. You say, well, did you name your children after you? No, I did not. I named them after a better man than I am. His name is Daniel in the Bible. And I also honored my dad, not me. Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Raise your hand if you sent your invites out. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. Remember now, Daniel was a man of prayer. No wonder things were revealed to Daniel. And I'm here to tell you that if you become a person of prayer, and prayer is hard work, and prayer is not easy, we need God's strength to pray. We need the power of the Holy Spirit of God to pray. So no wonder people who pray, they see things that other people don't see. This is hardly brought out when we talk about Daniel. If you will, this is a revelation that God has given to me. Daniel was a man of great prayer before he became the three-time president of this land. And no wonder God revealed things to Daniel. Obviously, also, Daniel was a man not only given to prayer, but given to fasting. And you're going to go deeper in God when you fast. And no wonder God gave Daniel unique gifts and abilities to not only tell you what the interpretation of your dream is, but to tell you what your dream was. I said the other day that Daniel was a bad man, but he was bad in the good sense because God is good. Amen, somebody. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh, which is pleasant meat, if you will, nor wine, which is pleasant wine. This is the good stuff. And that's what the Daniel fast is about. It is about avoiding those pleasant things that go beyond our necessary food. Right now, some of us are doing the Daniel fast, and what we eat and drink is not pleasant. For example, I'm drinking some green tea with no sugar or no honey or no stevia or no other kind of so-called sweetener. That is unpleasant. I haven't had any coffee ever since we started fasting. I think we're working on 21 days. come Monday at 12 midnight. I haven't had any pleasant bread. It's all been, whatever bread I've had has been flat bread. And flat bread means exactly what it sounds like. It's flat, it tastes flat, there's nothing good about it. It's just bread, flat bread with no yeast. No pleasant bread. Neither came flesh, pleasant flesh, venison. Ribeye steak, a Texas ribeye, bone in, not even chicken, not even fish, no pleasant bread, no pleasant flesh, no pleasant wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. If we were doing the original Daniel fast, we would be cutting this fast short, cutting it off around midnight or early the next morning, this coming Wednesday. But we're so bad and so sinful and so evil and so contrary to what God's will is for our lives, we are going 40 days, and we may go 42 days to make it 21-21. You say, well, preacher, you'll go by yourself. That's okay. It's all right. Holy Father God, we thank you for the richness of your holy word. We thank you for the depth of your holy word. We thank you, Lord, how like a mirror we can see ourselves and we can see what we need to change. For some reason, it's hard for most of us to change. It is deeply rooted in our wicked, sinful nature. Have mercy and grace upon us all. And for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all of our sins, our failures, and our faults, and help us to, Lord, repent of our sins, to change, to turn away from our wicked, evil ways by any means necessary. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us all, and fill us all with the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I hope and pray that from the devotional this morning, what a powerful devotional it was, that people would learn, so-called Christians would learn, to stop stabbing you in the back by being Judases, modern-day Judases, with the same demonic Luciferian Judas spirit, by being self-willed like Judas, like the devil, by being stubborn like the devil. He was stubborn in heaven. He didn't want to submit to you. He was self-willed. He had made up his mind that he was going to try to overthrow your throne. How wicked, how sinister, how evil. And the devil has, as you know, Lord, spawned many other Judases with a Luciferian bent, hell-bent, to have their way. They don't care anything about your church. They don't care anything about your people. They just want to use your people to get what they want. They are Luciferian Judases who are constantly stabbing you in the back. They're not concerned about this service or no other service. They're not concerned about your holy word. They want to see it hindered. They are saddened almost to tears when it is successful, and that their little plots, their little satanic plots, don't work. They are of their father, the devil. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'd cast out the devil, rebuke and bind the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness out of their hearts and minds, those who have this issue and this problem, be they family, friend or foe, church member or no, black or white, red or yellow, inside or outside, makes no difference. We pray that you would stop them cold, restrain their wicked, evil, ungodly intentions. Control them and stop them from stabbing you in the back. They think that they're hurting a human being. They think that they're getting back at somebody that they're angry at because or bitter at because they won't let them have their way. But all they're doing is constantly stabbing you in the back, stabbing you, persecuting you. And unfortunately, they're doing it multiple times. As I heard someone say about a murder victim who was stabbed multiple times, somebody truly hated this person, and evidently they hate you. And help them open their blinded eyes and unstop their fears and help them to at least see that they don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Help them at least to see that the person that they think they're getting back at is not the person that they are stabbing in the back. It is you, because this is your work, your word, your gospel. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out this demonic spirit out of every person's life under the sound of my voice who has this wicked issue. Help them to see that they have been found out. They have been isolated. Now we know it's not anything personal. It's not a flesh and blood situation. They have been found out to be nothing but Luciferian Judases, constantly stabbing Jesus in the back, hating God, hating Jesus, hating the Word of God, and hating the Church of God, and hating the people of God. Only concerned about themselves, as was pointed out this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll protect the innocent sheep who are trying to do your will, that they will not be taken up in their dissimulation and wickedness. And Holy Father God, I do pray that once again you would show up and show out by the power of your Holy Spirit, for we cannot do anything without the power of your Holy Spirit. We cannot function without your unction. And so, Lord God in heaven, we pray that you save those who are lost and revive those who are saved. Change us, Lord, from the inside out. Break the band of wickedness and sin in each of our lives while we're on this fast. The sin of gluttony, the sin of overeating, the sin of overindulging, the sin of stuffing ourselves like the Israelites did at the quail party. And Lord, we pray that you give us sweet victory over ourselves. Give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and ourselves, and our sins of gluttony, and overdoing it, and overindulging, and celebrating too much. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, one of my favorite ladies, I had to visit, had the privilege of hearing her live when she was out and about. I don't think she's doing that much speaking today. Elizabeth Elliot. I love this much older lady. And she is in the Negro vernacular, a bad somebody. I like her a lot. She said, and by the way, if you don't have any of her books, you need to get some of them and read them. That's right. Just go to Amazon.com and type in Elizabeth Elliot. And by the way, a book that you need to get is titled Discipline. Those of us who are gluttons, you need to get that book on discipline. If you don't buy any other book by Elizabeth Elliot, get that book on discipline. My. It'll bless your heart. Elizabeth Elliot said, one way to begin to see how vastly indulgent we usually are is to fast. It is a long day that is not broken by the usual three meals. One finds out what an astonishing amount of time is spent in the planning, purchasing, preparing, eating, and cleaning up of meals. And she's right about that. And she should know, because she was not only a great woman, but a great wife and a great mother. And she was a great housekeeper and cook. And I can't remember. I don't know whether or not she's going on to be with the Lord or not. She was all of that. In fact, my daughters had the privilege of watching a video. I had to get a video to teach my daughters how to keep house, because my wife was not teaching them well, to be quite frank. And I didn't want them to leave my household not knowing how to keep their household clean. She taught them how to fold towels. I remember this very well, years ago. And I think we still have that video around here somewhere. She taught them how to clean, how to keep things clean. This is one thing I emphasize with my wife down through the years. It's not about cleaning up all the time. It's about keeping the house clean. It's called housekeeping. Amen, somebody. Be that as it may, I digress. In this series, we have looked at the following ways in which we can follow Daniel's example during our Daniel fast. Number one, studying the Holy Scriptures. Number two, confessing our wicked sins. Number three, repenting of our wicked ways. Number four, spending more time in prayer while fasting. Number five, withdrawing from worldly pleasures, worldly connections, worldly parties, and so forth. Mixing and mingling. Going about some of the state business that you normally do that you can't avoid. Continuing with the theme of withdrawing from the pleasure and companionship of the world and even of some good people. During our time of fasting and prayer, Daniel's decision not to anoint himself for the 21 days of his fast indicated that he did not intend to have much interaction with other people. He truly intended to spend most of his time alone with God. For his soul, his spirit was troubled. For his people, for what had been revealed to him. So, if you will, by extension, my beloved, in our day and time, you. No, right here. Yeah. By extension, in our day and time, by the grace of God, when we abstain from worldly pleasures, when we're on the Daniel fast, some people should consider, not all, we're not going to be legalistic about it, should consider choosing to put away such things as movies, TV shows, including the news, because the news is increasingly becoming irrelevant, the traditional news. You would be much better off being in control of your news by consuming your news online. And I know I'm right about it, and I don't care who likes it. You do not want to constantly be hearing news, so-called, which is slanted to their opinion and their liberal bias and wicked ideas. Entertaining books such as novels, social media, music, certainly the kind of music we saw and heard on the Grammys last night. That young black man, Lamar, which quite frankly I have never heard of him before in my life, but he's supposed to be a big deal, is an extremely angry young man, seems like to me. And he came out shooting the people dancing with him, talking about shoot your mother, shoot your wife, shoot your child, and then shoot yourself. I said, what in the world? And then the homosexual Steve Smith came out, and I guess his name is Steve Smith, came out and sung a song titled I Think I'll Pray. But before he got to a part of the refrain was, now, God, I never believed in you. No, but I think I'll pray. I said, what? He'll look up at God and say, God, I never believed in you. Point at God. And then he'll say, no, I think I'll pray. Is everybody all right? Some faces I can't see no longer. Is everybody all right? I said, wow. And there was a whole lot of praying out there. I was wondering where the Christians were, because the lost people, the angry black man, he talked about God and the Lord and everything. And then the homosexual white man pointed to God and said, I never believed in you. No, but I think I'll pray. The world is so bad. And some of these folks have started praying because Trump has become president of the United States. Who they're praying to, I don't know. And then the lady, I forget her name, Kesha, she got up and did a whole song on praying. She was attacking some people, some bad people, but her attitude and her song was about praying for them. She said, I hope that you're on your knees praying. I hope you find your peace praying. Boy, I said, wow. On the Grammys, two secular artists are singing about prayer. Three, including the angry black man, who looked like he just came off the boat from Africa. Lamar, straight from the way he was carrying himself, don't get mad at me, straight from the village of Kunta Kinte. Is everybody all right? I'm just talking about the way the thing went down. I mean, just wild, crazy. You can't even understand what the person is saying. And then, any one song, putting a bullet in his own head. Where are we going, people? Where, oh where, are we going? Because we're certainly not in Kansas any longer. Music, or some of this aside, And there's three people. Well, there's two people. Maybe three. That we certainly don't need to have in our ear. We certainly ought not to have them on our little iPhone or whatever you use to listen to music. Those are three right there you ought not to have. And then Shaggy from Jamaica hooking up with somebody else. I hadn't heard from him in a long time. And I don't know what he was doing. But this is music that you don't need to be listening to. And it is troubling, and it is amazing how people can get their minds blown by such ridiculous lyrics and songs. But I cannot condemn anybody, because when I was lost and in the world, we listened to some crazy stuff too. One of our favorite songs back in the day was about a flashlight. And when that song came on in the club, everybody got up. All the wallflowers, everybody had to hit the floor. Flashlight! Everybody pulled out their little flashlight. Back in those days, you can buy a little flashlight, put on your keychain. So that when you got on the dance floor, you can wave your little flashlight around. At least these folks are praying, singing about praying and prayer. They're going in the right direction. But whatever the case, it would be wise for you to consider moving away from these things while you're on the Daniel fast, or whatever it is that you like very much and find extremely enjoyable. Again, we're not going to get legalistic about it, because quite frankly, for most people, abstaining from pleasant foods and pleasant breads and pleasant meats and pleasant wines is enough. That's about all they can take. However, abstaining from the pleasures of life is something that should be done as unto the Lord, not unto man. Isn't it disgusting to be around people who are trying to show you, you know, they won't come out and tell you that they're fasting or they're doing something, but they want to come out and show you by looking all bent over and pitiful and poor me, got the long sad face, and they want you. It's disgusting. It is disgusting. These people who want you to ask them, what's wrong with you? And what do they say? Always, oh, nothing. It is absolutely disgusting. Listen to me. Nothing turns me off like that right there. This self-pity mess. This throwing of the pity party all of the time. Always want somebody to pay attention to you and ask you what's wrong? What's wrong? And you buck up and say, oh, nothing. Don't worry about it. But you're acting like there's something wrong. Well, I'm not acting that way to make you notice. Well, why are you acting that way? Well, I'm just doing it. Don't worry about it. It's disgusting. You ask them about four or five more times, because they're going to take that, because they're going to go on and on and on with it, and then they say, oh, I'm fasting. I'm trying to fast. We are not fasting, ladies and gentlemen, to make ourselves appear holy before others or to make others feel guilty. That's a whole nother group of people. In Matthew 6, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees who went out in public disfiguring their faces. And we got folks who do this garbage today. It's disgusting. That they may appear unto men to fast. If it's that bad, just stay home and go through the pain in your bed. Don't bring that around everybody else. Disfiguring your face and all pruned up like you've been eating prunes all week and sucking on a lemon and sucking on a pickle and swallow the curtain rod. You all bent over. Oh, look at me. Poor me. That is not the way you do stuff. And then you got some hypocrites who do other things like that. When they want to go to the doctor or something, they feign being sick. And when they want some attention, they feign being sick. Look at me. Look at me. What's wrong? Oh, nothing. Shake the head left and right. No, nothing. They double over, got their arms around their waist. What's wrong? Oh, nothing. Don't worry about it. Then after about four or five times, they'll say, oh, my chest is hurting and my head is hurting every time. Both things are hurting. Jesus said, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head. Amen, somebody. And wash thy face. Now, Daniel chose not to anoint his head, but we know Daniel was not doing it to get attention. We already know this. We can tell by other things in his life that he would not be that kind of person. Daniel had the mentality like some football players have, and like I have right now, that I'm not going to cut my beard off, my winter beard, my spring, my fall winter beard, until this fast is over. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to cut my hair. I don't think I am Samson, and I certainly don't need a Delilah. By the way, my wife has asked me to cut my hair many times. I told her, no, never, never, never would you put your hands on my hair. There are some football players who won't cut their beards off until they win the championship or lose it. You know, that kind of thing. That's where Daniel's at. He's not with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So, beloved, in other words, if you have to interact with others while fasting, as many of us do in the fast-paced place called America on a daily basis, don't try to make it apparent that you are fasting. No one needs to know. And if someone needs to know, just tell them, frankly, that you're fasting. And you're not going to eat, so maybe, you know, I might not be a good dinner guest. Y'all go ahead on without me. Just let them know. Don't be secretive and trying to appear to be fasting and all spiritual and won't say it. And people got to pull it out of you. They got to say it for you. So you're fasting? Okay, all right, no problem, man. You just stay home. Jesus continues. Appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The Daniel fast is not a time to go about complaining about what you can't eat, looking all sour and mad and angry because you can't eat what you would like to eat. Nor is it a time to try to make others feel badly because they are eating things that you are abstaining from. Got your face all, your lips all pursed up, looking down your nose at the eaters of flesh, eating that big fat hamburger from Fuddruckers. They got to cut it in four pieces to even get their hand on it, and you... Dripping is dripping with grease and smelling good. And you're looking at, you know, I just, like you're saying, you won't say it, but you're saying, I cannot imagine this. How can you eat that animal like that? If you are giving up some other activity or pleasure as well, that does not give you license to boast about it. Stop boasting about spiritual stuff that only God put in your mind to do in the first place. Stop trying to get people to notice you for the simple things, the few things you do for God. My, it's disgusting. You are to be doing it for the Lord and for the betterment of your relationship with Him and for the glory of God. Every moment you gain by giving up something that you enjoy and cutting back on food buying and food preparation, you ought to invest in your walk with God, in your relationship with God. Get closer to God. Draw nigh to Him, the Bible says, and He will draw nigh to you. Amen, somebody. And there's no better way to get into to draw nigh to God than to pray, to fast, and to let go of some of the other things in the world that we like doing. He will richly reward you for sacrificing to spend more time with Him and engage in spiritual pursuits that bring benefits for time and eternity for the salvation of lost souls. And so, beloved, at this time we're going to pray, and then I'm going to move into a few points on practical information regarding the Daniel fast and, yay, the Daniel lifestyle. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us not to be hypocrites about fasting, trying to draw attention to ourselves about things that are spiritual. And Lord, we pray that You would help us never to be the kind of people accused of being holier than Thou. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, our failures and faults, particularly of the sin of gluttony, of just eating too much, in the words of Dave Ramsey. And he is right. He admitted that he has a big fat gut, and the only reason why he does is because he eats too much. And I have admitted it as well. And we pray that all Christians who have this issue of gluttony will admit that we just eat too much. And that is the problem. There's no need in lying about it and talking about our thyroid and blaming our genes and blaming mommy and daddy. We just eat too much. We're gluttons, and it's a sin that has been covered up for too long in the church. And it is a shame before You, and it is a shame before a dying and lost world. We're supposed to be disciples, and we have no discipline. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins and help us to truly repent and to turn away from our evil ways. And Lord God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, cast out the devil, his demons and his hosts, and rebuke and bind the devil, his demons and his hosts, Lord, from every person in our families, in our churches, in our ministries, in regards to this temptation and this sin. And help us to resist the devil, that he would flee from us. Break the band of wickedness in this fast, that the sin of gluttony will never take hold of us again, and that we would show forth the fruits of repentance by, in my case, Lord, what You're doing with me is the 21-day fast before Thanksgiving, for as You know, Lord, I would have never thought of that on my own. As You know, Lord, from November the 1st all the way through Thanksgiving was mine. At one time, it was November the 1st all the way through January the 10th or 15th. For many years, I just enjoyed all kinds of foods and overindulged. And Lord, I thank You for lovingly in a still small voice convicting me about that. I thank you that I'm not sick. I thank you that you didn't have to put me on my back in a hospital room to get my attention. I'm amazed at your graciousness to me and to my other fat brothers and sisters in Christ, to my other fellow overweight Christians, and some who are obese. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to my heart. Thank you, Lord, for leading me to preach on this subject. And it seems like you're saying to me that I ought to continue to preach on it in some form until I have lost the pounds that you want me to lose. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me and us that this is a journey. We're not in a sprint here. We're in a marathon. Regarding this, it was a marathon for us to get here. It's going to take us a marathon, or at least half of a marathon, to get to where we need to be. You also led me to repent to the point of foregoing all meats, including fish, except for on special holidays and special birthdays and anniversaries. And so, Lord, I thank you for that repentance that you have wrought in my life. Just that alone is doing wonders in my life and will do wonders over time. I pray that others would repent in such a way as you see fit. We give you the glory, praise, and honor for what you have done and what you are doing. And thank you for the joy and peace that you've given to us in doing it. For your glory, praise, and honor, for my main concern, and I believe that your main concern is we ought to do this for testimony's sake, so that others would give us a hearing when we share with them the gospel, and our stomachs will not be between them and the gospel and getting saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, moving towards some practical information regarding the Daniel fast and, yea, the Daniel lifestyle. This information comes from the Daniel Plan, 40 Days to a Healthier Life by Dr. Rick Warren, who has been a blessing to the church. Dr. Daniel Amen, I like that name, and Dr. Mark Hyman, and I like that name because I believe he's Jewish. I love my Jewish brothers and their gifts that they bring to the table. Basically, the book advocates what I have suggested we all do, not necessarily following this Daniel fast. You'll hear more about what I'm saying in the future, but we do thank God that Dr. Rick Warren and his friends have done a first-class job in leading us and helping us to understand that we need to change in the church. Taking the Daniel fast diet, that is, taking the Daniel fast diet and continuing it as a lifestyle. Again, avoiding legalism, we're talking about a loosely based diet based upon the Daniel fast, okay? You do you. I'm going to do me. And my makeup is such that by the grace of God, I like the ascetic life. And I had to be helped with that in my early Christian life. And so I'm more inclined to do that. You don't have to do as much as I'm doing. And I'm still debating on whether or not I should have some meat on every Sunday with my family. And that'll add another 52 days to maybe about 20 or so. And that might be too much, because that's almost one-third of a year. So I'm not sure whether or not I'm going to do that. And one of the reasons why I don't want to do that is because we always have leftovers, and I think I make sure that we do. And I don't want to have any leftovers on Monday. Anyway, the authors of this fine book write, the National Institutes of Health spends $800 million a year trying to discover the cause of obesity. And they said what I have said is not hard. It's because of gluttony. And so they answer sarcastically, could it be the 29 pounds of French fries, 23 pounds of pizza, 24 pounds of ice cream, 53 gallons of soda, wow, 24 pounds of artificial sweeteners, and 2.7 pounds of salt consumed every year by the average American bear, if you will. The Daniel Plan, I said bear, not them. Rick Warner would never say that. Only I can get away with that. The Daniel Plan is rooted in a very simple principle. Take the junk out and let the abundance of good stuff in. Amen, somebody. I believe that if you lay off of all of the junk that we have been talking about and just keep on eating, but eat the good stuff that God designed for human beings, you don't have the diet. The weight is going to automatically drop off over time without surgery and cutting your stomach off and everything. I told you, God did not tell you to do that. You're cheating because you don't want to discipline yourself to stop being a glutton. But strange things happen when you do stuff like that to your body. I don't care what you say, these people look funny. I'm talking about these people who get their stomachs cut off or banded up and all that. They look funny. They look weird. It does something to your neck, evidently, because these people have big heads and little necks. And have you noticed that most of them don't even lose any weight? You know why? Because they have not resolved the issue of being a glutton. They're eating too much and they're eating the wrong things. And they're having accidents on themselves in public places, like a baby. Don't you get mad with me. It's true. And just because you see little commercials of one or two people who have been successful, that's pretty much it. Most people have problems with that. You know why? Because God never intended on for you to do stuff like that to your body, to mutilate your body that way. He would rather for you to just live by his word and stop being a glutton. You gained the weight naturally, if you will. You must lose it naturally. And because that's another problem. You go do something like that, the fat may you're going to lose weight so fast, you got a bunch of flab. If you do it naturally, you've seen these people. You got the flab. Look like a deflated whale. Don't you get mad with me. Flab all over the place. And then guess what? They have to get another surgery to remove all of the fat and flab that could have been lost naturally if they did it God's way, the Bible way. Stop eating so much and eat the right things and be gradual. You'll lose it gradually. It's a big old disgusting problem when you try to do it the fast, quick way so that you can show up looking thinner at the wedding or at the funeral. And you're about to die underneath because you're doing stuff that God never intended for you to do. I don't care if you like it or not. It's the truth. All of you people using Botox and pumping your face with all kinds of stuff and trying to change, and plastic surgery and trying to change what God gave you, it's a slap in God's face, and it's not going to work. You got to keep going back in to get touch-ups and so forth. And some people have messed up their lives permanently doing that. God never told you to do stuff like that. And you don't look good. You think you do. You got some people who can't even close their mouth properly. The mouth still looks like it's open. You got some people who have a permanent Joker-type smile on their face while they're talking. You got some folk who they got a kind of a line coming up out their mouth that makes them look like the Joker. You got some folks who can't smile naturally anymore. They got something that prevents them from smiling. They almost hurts, like their face is hurting while they're trying to smile. Leave your body alone. God made you special, unique. And here we got thousands of women, secretly and not secretly, trying to look like Kim Kardashian. Let me tell you something. If you're not Kim Kardashian, you will never look like Kim Kardashian. You're going to look like a fake, phony Barbie doll. Now everybody's trying to look like Ivanka. That is disgusting. It is sick. It is sick. You got people paying thousands and millions of dollars to look like Ivanka. You will never look like Ivanka. Never. Because God did not make you to be an Ivanka. And all that you do is going to fall down. Don't focus on what you can't eat, they say. Although you should be educated and cautious about certain food substances, focus on what you can include and eat. Delicious whole foods full of extraordinary flavor, delightful textures, and hidden surprises. I know some folks on the Daniel fast and the Daniel lifestyle, they're saying, I wish you could show me where these hidden surprises are, because I am not getting it. Don't focus on what you can't eat, although you should be educated and cautious about certain food substances. Focus on what you can eat. Delicious whole foods, full of extraordinary flavor, delightful textures, and hidden surprises. I want you to get that. Because your psychology has to be changed. Your mind, your heart has to be changed. Our philosophy is that if it was grown on a plant, eat it. If it was made in a plant, leave it on the shelf. And that's a word to the wise. So in closing, beloved, now in this series, as we focus on overcoming the sin of gluttony and doing our bodies right and managing our bodies as God has intended, we must not lose sight of the most important part of our existence, our spiritual life. Even those of you who are fit, who eat right, and who exercise regularly must still address the condition of your soul, because no matter how beautiful and fit you are, and yes, my beloved, there's nothing more beautiful, there's no more beautiful picture on earth, as far as I am concerned, as a man, than a beautiful woman who is in tip-top shape. Nothing. There's no picture of a fruit basket. There's no, I don't care who painted it, Michelangelo or whoever, nobody, there's nothing more beautiful on God's green earth than a beautiful woman who's in tip-top shape. No, sir. No, sir. You'll never find one more beautiful. The sky is beautiful. We have a beautiful day in Texas. One of the reasons why I love living in Texas is because that is North Texas, because of the great weather we've had. And I just love it. And we get beautiful, beautiful days. Ever since I was a child, I wanted to live in Texas. The first book, I think the only book I read as a child, was Pecos Bill. And in that little book, it had big, beautiful blue skies. And I loved that because I was a kid who, if it rained, to me, that was a bad day. I loved the blue sky with the sun shining in it. Oh, my, oh, my. Oh, I loved days like that. Now that I'm saved, every day is beautiful. As long as I can see the sun, that is the Son of God, I'm good. I'm good. I enjoy these beautiful days. And you might be in tip-top shape. You say, what about men? I don't give a flip about men. I can care less. I don't care what kind of body a man has. I don't see any value in it whatsoever. I don't see any beauty in it whatsoever. May God deliver these homos from looking at each other when they ought to be looking at these beautiful, fine women instead of looking at some ugly, stinking man. Now, to women, for some reason, they find something interesting about men, and that's how it ought to be. That's how God designed it. Amen, somebody. So you might be fit and beautiful. And by the way, I said the other day, and I'll say it again, what got young men out of the house in a hurry, quick and in a hurry, back in the day, away from daddy and mommy, was that fine, fat, P-H-A-T, fat woman walking down the street. His eyes were open and he was raring to go. I got to move away from daddy and mommy because I got to get with that right there, that right there, that right there. Okay? So, it's all well, good, and dandy that you're healthy, that you worked out in the gym. I did it when I was young. I was a picture to behold. My wife told me I looked like a statue. And all of that's wonderful and fine and dandy to be in shape. And going to the health food store, going to the gym, exercising every day, getting on your bike, and so forth. I understand. You may keep your body in perfect condition till the day you die, but you will still die, no matter how beautiful, no matter how fine, no matter how handsome you are. One day you will leave here. Many young men and many young women are leaving here in the prime of their life. Some have left the CrossFit gym and got into a car accident, and they're dead today. We all will die, no matter how fit we are. Trying to live forever down here is futile. And the only thing that will matter when we die, my beloved, is the condition of your soul, not your body, your spirit. Is your soul in shape with God? Is your soul in right standing with God? Is your soul saved from the hell that you deserve because of your sins? The only way to make sure of that is to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior from sin and the consequences of sin, which is hell. He alone can save your soul, but and put you in right standing with God. and ensure that you do not perish in that awful place called hell because of your sins. Now, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, here is how you can trust Him today. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. And so have I. So has the Pope. So has Billy Graham. So has Joel Osteen. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, understand and accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We're going to die one day, and we're not going to die because we didn't drink the right shake. We didn't go to the gym three times a day or three times a week. We're going to die because of our sin. The sin that we participate in even at the gym. Lusting after those beautiful women. Trying to get a hookup right after the gym experience with that beautiful instructor. Committing fornication and committing adultery. Attracted to bodies and not to God. Doing that which makes us feel guilty because we're sinning against God. And understand that because of our sin, we must accept the fact that you are on the road to hell if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. For Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus Christ was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than all of the other prophets in the Bible. And he has certainly preached more on hell than most preachers today. Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Hell is an awful place. Hell is a sad place. And you don't want to go to that awful place called hell. Now that is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." All you have to do to be saved is believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Help her. Dear friend, you don't have to join a church to be saved. Dear friend, you don't have to give an offering to be saved. You don't have to give any money to be saved. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. You don't have to do good works to be saved. All of these things are good once you get saved. But they will not save your soul. Getting baptized will not save you. That's a good thing to do, but it won't save your soul. We want to be perfectly clear. If you want to be saved today from your sins and the punishment of sin, which is hell, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou, you shall be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. I'll be glad to lead you in what is commonly called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart to save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my old sinful life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. In other words, we will not take your name off the list until you tell us that the prayer is answered and you want your name off the list. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is our prayer. Let's all stand. Come to Jesus.